Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 29th day of January, Anno Domini 2022, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 9 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. For those of you wondering where Steve Ray is, he's here, he's just walking around in the snow with no coat on. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, you don't want to picture that one.
I'm fine with it.
No.
Well, there is hope for users of Google's legacy free G Suite accounts. Last week, Google announced a brutal policy change. It would shut down the Google Apps accounts of users who signed up during the first several years when the service was available for free. Users who had a free G Suite account were given two options. Start paying the per user monthly fee by July of 2022, or you lose your account. Now, here's the thing. You can get a free Gmail account. So, you know, dave@gmail.com.
Yep.
That's free. But if you wanted dave@enright.com and manage it through Google, that's G Suite. It used to be free for non-businesses. And you could have, I think it was 10 accounts. So you could have dave@enright.com, support@enright.com, no reply, you know, whatever you wanted. Now they're saying it's going to cost you $6 per user per month. So if you've got three accounts, it's going to cost you $18 a month. Naturally, this move led to a huge outcry. And now the company seems to be backing down from most of the harsher terms of the initial agreement announcement. Google is launching a survey of affected G Suite users and is promising a data migration option, including your content purchases, to a consumer account before the shutdown hits. Google Apps, or G Suite, or Google Workspace, or whatever they're calling it this week, allows users to have a Google account with a custom domain, so your email ends in your website address rather than at gmail.com. It's typically used for businesses, although lots of people used it. You know, many people have a vanity domain with their name.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic tier of G Suite was free from 2006 to 2012. Google stopped offering free G Suite. Now, again, let us remember, G Suite is different from having a Gmail address.
Yep. Totally different, folks.
Okay. Google stopped offering free G Suite accounts in 2012, but it was previously unthinkable that Google would go after its most enthusiastic early adopter users and kick them off the service. You trust Google and store a ton of data in a Google account, so the accounts are free forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not so much. Users being hit with the shutdown faced two options. Either suddenly start paying for their accounts, which have been free for years, or lose access to core workspace apps like Gmail. If you used your G Suite account like a regular consumer account and bought a bunch of digital content from Google, you could be out hundreds of thousands of dollars in purchases. With no way to get all the data out of a Google account in a seamless way and an easy way, Google's pay up or lose your account options felt like data extortion. There is now a new section on the support page titled, "If I don't want to upgrade to a paid subscription, can I transfer my data?" It reads, and I quote, "In coming months, we'll provide an option for you to move your non-Google Workspace paid content and most of your data to a no-cost option. This new option won't include premium features like custom email or multi-account management. You'll be able to evaluate this option prior to July 1, 2022 and prior to account suspension. We'll update this article with details in the coming months." End quote. This is the option everybody has been asking for, as it specifically references non-Google Workspace paid content, which presumably would mean all your apps and games and media purchases made through Google Play and YouTube. The support article doesn't offer any additional details yet, only saying to wait for further updates. But Google promises the option will be ready before July, which is when the account disruptions start happening. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google lets G Suite users migrate to free accounts. And your choices are, they better, I was hoping they'd relent, meh, Google, phooey, I was channeling Nero Wolf there, and other. So far, we have 21 votes, and so far, meh is ahead. Almost half the votes are just meh. And if you'd like to vote in the poll, head on over to soundbites.org. That is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. In the upper right, I beg your pardon, the other right, your upper left corner, you'll see the poll listed there. Take the poll here in yellow background, red letters, and in blue, Google lets G Suite users migrate to free accounts. And in addition, if you have more to say, scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 29 Jan 22, Google lets G Suite users migrate to free accounts. And of course, if you have more to say about this, please give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. If you're on the phone, we'll get to you in just a few moments. But I'm glad that Google is doing this. Yeah. I have had a free account since something fairly close to day one. And it it really is quite useful.
Mm-hmm.
I have used it forever, and it is...
it's pretty close to 10 years.
It's pretty close to 10 years.
I went back and looked at my start date, and it was 10 years ago.
Right. And so there are a lot of... there are a lot of options for getting a new free account, but moving your email was difficult to move your email, and you couldn't move all the other things, like your purchases from Google Play, or your calendar, or a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is tied into that.
Right. You could move your calendar. It just wasn't easy. It was not – none of that was easy. So if Google makes some sort of ability to move all that stuff
– well, what are they going to charge anyways, though?
$6 per user per month. So if you've got davidenright.com – support at Enright.com.
Yeah.
No reply at Enright.com. That's three. That's $18 a month.
Well, theoretically, you could change some of them to be aliases rather than their own separate accounts.
Right.
I was looking at that in our system. We have 19 email addresses, but right. We only need like four.
Right.
The rest of them are...
Yeah, I was going to say, then why not just convert some of the others just to regular Gmail accounts?
Well, it depends on what you do with them. Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you want to have your own domain name, that's the big thing.
Yeah, that's the key.
He's got his own business, and they want to keep that domain name. You don't want suddenly to say, well, okay, start emailing us at Gmail. It just doesn't look professional.
Oh yeah, no.
In fact, we actually started with jessegroup@gmail.com because they didn't have domain support yet.
Right.
So address still works, but it's not professional looking.
I still have asknick@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I get it. But, you want to have your domain. And so that's a thing that's still in flux. I think Google, when the bean counters set policy, this is the kind of thing that happens. Somebody said, hey, we could be making money off of these. Whereas... somebody with a cooler head might have said, do you really want that negative publicity?
Not a good idea.
It's not costing us much. It's costing them a little bit of disk space. That's it.
Yep.
And a couple of entries in a table somewhere. That's honestly it. Do you think Google even notices that?
No, it's like pocket lint.
Exactly right. Exactly right. It's ridiculous. Anyway. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing, and now we're in flux. We don't know. There was a big panic at first, but I did not panic because
doom and gloom.
Well, I know Google, and I know that they are going to make 15 changes before July. So we'll see. We'll see what actually ends up happening. But the reality is that it is not done yet. It is not a done deal 100%. We'll see what the future holds.
What shakes out.
Yeah, but it is not yet time to panic. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Larry from Spencerport, New York. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Yes, I'm using Ubuntu 20.04.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to download Adobe Reader, and I found a place on the web that gave me about 6 steps to do it.
Yeah.
I got down through everything and put on my computer, I think, and it went and said to install Adobe Acrobat Reader, and this is one line of code there. I put that in, and it just, like I said, an error, unknown option. Cannot access archive.
Right. So are you looking to just read PDFs?
No, but the reason I'm trying to do it is New York State tax IT 201s. You can't download them unless you have Adobe.
No, that's wrong. You can use any PDF reader, but Adobe pays them to say you need the Adobe reader.
Well, every time I try to download it, it comes up with a bunch of yellow pages and says you need Adobe. You need Adobe.
You need a PDF reader. You don't need the Adobe PDF reader.
Okay. All right. Well, I do have on the standard Ubuntu. There was it reads PDFs, but I don't know if it's specifically a PDF reader.
There is. It's called Evince, and it's generally installed already.
Yeah, I have no problem with reading regular PDFs, it's under the Events part.
Carefully read the pages that you're seeing. There will come a point where it will say download anyway.
Okay. Well, all right. I know it had the first 3 pages were all the yellow, and I didn't read them all. But
right. You should be able to download it anyway.
Okay.
I did.
Oh,
and you did? And once you've downloaded it, Events will read it.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll try that.
Yep.
Okay, all right,
thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. It's called Evince, E-V-I-N-C-E. It'll read PDFs and DVIs and XPSs and TIFFs and
a whole bunch of
stuff.
I always get annoyed at that. Every website uses PDFs because Adobe created it as a portable document format, so it's convenient to use.
That's what PDF means.
That's what PDF means, yeah. And then Adobe pays them to say, you must use Adobe Reader to view this page. No, you don't.
Right.
He said New York State form, didn't he?
Yeah.
So it may be a fill-inable form. So he may need, there are some PDF readers that only read. He needs to have one that has a fillable-inable.
Fillable-inable?
Fillable-inable.
Yeah. That's possible.
So that in that case, it may need the Adobe Reader or a different reader that can fill in forms.
There are a number of those as well.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about those in a minute. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is our friend Al from Rochester, New York. What's up, Al?
Hey, guys. Top of the morning to you.
And the rest of the day for yourself.
Hey. So I have a question. I hope it's a minor one. I've just gotten a little frustrated, and there's too many other things going on in my life, so I'm going to take the easy route and ask you guys.
Sure.
Okay. So I have a number of Gmail addresses.
Uh-huh.
And I finally started using one of them for some of the potentially more annoying sources of spam, et cetera. And what's happened is that I now get text messages to my phone that contain what I suspect is a email with a lot of HTML in it. It could be, like 50 screens long.
Right.
Yep. And I'm baffled as to what setting, why it's doing it for that one address and nothing else. And it's for 3 or 4 different vendors that all may come through like that.
It may be nothing you did. It may be that address got on a spam list.
Yep.
You have accidentally told that vendor that this is a email account, not a text account. So they're trying to email your text number.
Now, what did you do? Walk me through the process.
Sure. I have an email address that's basically my name in a variation.
Sure, it doesn't matter, fine.
And I used it for Pandora to open a new account in Pandora. So now I have right in front of me a message from Pandora that is starts out with a little bit of verbiage I can read. It says, hey, we've got a recommendation for you. Click here to see the full message, and then it has an HTTP address that goes on for about two screens. Then a little more of verbiage saying, this email has been sent by Pandora Media.
Yeah, so it's a text message from Pandora wanting you to buy something new or subscribe to some other service, and they want you to click there to open a web page.
Right, but what follows can be, like I say, dozens and dozens of screens of code.
What you're going to need to do is to log into your account at Pandora.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the settings is a don't send me email thing.
Or don't send me text messages.
Or anything, you know, yeah. It's somewhere in the settings you can you can tell them what you want to receive from them. I set mine to nothing, thank you.
Sure. Okay, I can certainly try that. My puzzle is the three other Gmail addresses I use that are scattered all over the place. No sign of anything like this. This is all...
Right, you know. It's somewhere in Pandora itself. It's got... are the messages only coming from Pandora?
No, I get them from other places, too.
Then one of the things you want to do, okay, if that's the case, then what you want to do is look at the settings for that email account and see if you have accidentally set it to copy things to text messages, forward to text.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. If that's the way it's working, then that's how you fix that.
And it could be that somewhere in some text message opt-in field in an email opt-in field is your phone number. And there is every phone service has a text to email service. It's your phone number at whatever the service is. So if your phone number at Verizon.net or AT&T.com.
Actually, VText.com.
VText for Verizon, yeah. And so any... I don't know if I should say this. If any spammers are listening, stop.
Like they don't know this.
Yeah, yeah. You can send an email to text very easily by using that as the email address.
But it is delayed, often considerably.
Yeah.
Email to text gateways are women and children first.
Yeah.
You know, they do it when there's literally no other traffic on the network. So sometimes you don't get it for days. But yeah, Al, what it sounds like has happened is that if it's coming from multiple sources, it sounds like in whatever email address that is, you've said either to send it or copy it to your phone.
Okay, but I think you're correct in identifying that Gmail is a commonality.
Right.
Setting there. I'm just gonna have to dig around a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the settings, and I can't lead you to it.
I would also recommend going to Have I Been Pwned and putting that Gmail address in. It's possible that that address got on a spam list, and the spammers are sending spam emails to your phone number.
Well, there's a horrifying thought.
Yeah, it's bad enough for getting spam text messages.
Yeah,
we're getting spam email in your text that you can't read anyway.
Right, exactly. Okay. Anyway, give that a shot.
I will do that. Thank you.
All right, have fun.
Stay warm, guys.
You too. Hey, it's almost double digits. Oh, it is double digits, is it? Yeah, look at that. Wow. We're having a heat wave. A tropical heat wave.
And so apparently your charge is 45 watts.
Yeah.
And that is slowly charging. I'm up to 14%.
Congratulations.
I'm missing one cable.
Yeah.
And if I haven't
charged. You're missing half a cable.
Yeah. And of course, I haven't charged my computer since I used it last Saturday, so it drained through the week.
Well, that's the thing. Mac people have an inordinate amount of faith in the battery power of your laptops.
Oh, because I always have my power cord with me.
Is that a
But now I don't.
Until you don't.
Yeah.
And that takes a special power connector, right?
No, it's a pretty generic two-prong cable.
No, it isn't. It's that special thing.
No, it's that two-prong thing.
Oh, it's like for the HP printers.
Well, a lot of them you can't stick in there because that little doohickey's in the way.
Yeah, that's a standard two-prong cable that a lot of power bricks use.
Okay, if you say so.
I was looking around here to find another power brick I could unplug from.
I was going
to
say, it almost looks like something that you'd hook up for the HP printers.
Yeah. A lot of printers use that connector. A lot of the
brick, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of power bricks will use that two-prong connector. What's interesting on this one is it's flat on one side and indented on the other.
Yep.
A lot of those cables are like a figure eight, two circles.
Right.
Yeah.
Indented on both sides, but that'll fit on there too.
Right. So, yeah, what's happened is Steve has half his power. He's got the power brick.
I've got the brick. I've got the cord to the computer, but I'm missing the cord to the wall.
Right. And so he's now borrowed the luckily, many companies have standardized on USB-C.
Yeah.
So he's borrowed my power cable, which is only 45 watts.
But it does mean I can't plug in the third camera, Dave. So I just have a static picture.
Right, right, right.
Which he won't mind.
Dave doesn't mind. All right, we are going to take a quick break. If you are on the line, please stay on the line. We'll get to you when we come back, which will be just in a couple of minutes, with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we go back to the phones, I just want to go back to our first caller, Larry, who wanted an Adobe Reader for Ubuntu. There are a number of them. One of which is Foxit Reader. I keep forgetting that Foxit Reader is
available.
That's
the only one I use now is Foxit.
That is available for Linux as well, so you can download that. And it has the ability to read and fill out PDF forms, just like Adobe's own Reader. And you can go to their website, which is at foxit.com/PDF reader. And
they have other add-ons that if you want to, create forms to do fill-in and that type of stuff, they've got a good variety of package and reasonably priced.
Right. So it's foxit.com/PDF reader. Or you can just go to foxit.com and get it there. So you can download the PDF editor, and that's not free. Neither is the Editor Pro or the eSign, but
right.
The actual PDF reader itself is free.
Yeah.
So there are options available.
Not all is lost.
Nothing is lost. It's all good. It's all good. Okay, our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Hiya, Bob. What's up?
Good afternoon. The first caller seems to have brought up a common topic. Excuse me. I hit the same problem last year when I was doing my taxes. And it is, in fact, it's got to be a program that can deal with fill-out forms. I don't know what the name is. You can fill them out, though.
Yeah.
At the time, I couldn't find one that was working for Linux, so I had to switch over to Windows and do my taxes there. You mentioned Foxit, I think it is.
Yep.
As I recall, several years ago, weren't they known for bundling malware?
No, not. There was a rival to them that was doing that. Foxit, as far as I know, was not.
No, it wasn't. It was. Yeah, you're right. Though it was somebody else, and they kind of got tagged into it and wrongfully.
There was a bug in a version a couple of years ago, but I don't.
And then
of course, as with almost every free piece of software, if you don't pay attention to the questions when you install it,
you get click happy.
You get click happy, then it will install stuff you probably don't want. But that's on you. You can say no to all of that.
But it was still okay. They got a reputation for doing that. They can go,
you know,
where.
Yeah.
On a cold day.
Right.
And the other thing, too, is that PDF is not just text. It has forms you can fill out. It also has links. It also has JavaScript.
Right.
So there are a lot of malicious applications that masquerade as PDFs. Right. So you almost want a bare-bones PDF reader that can't do that other stuff to help stop those malicious PDFs from going
getting
through.
Getting in there and messing you up.
Well, you guys swerved into the fillable forms just as I was dialing the phone, but I figured I'd continue anyway.
Yep.
That's probably the guy's problem.
Right, when he talks about tax, New York State and IRS tax forms, they generally, you download them, fill them out, and then send them back. In fact, Adobe has a different program called Adobe Fill and Sign, Easy PDF Doc and Form Filler.
Right.
That's the name, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's available as a Chrome app. So if you're running Chrome on Linux, theoretically that would work?
Yeah, it would work.
Yeah.
Yes, but then I'd have to use a Google program.
Yeah.
Well, you would, yes.
So using a Google program to get to an Adobe program.
Yeah, right.
The backdoor routine.
Yeah.
Well, there may be a version for Mozilla.
Yeah.
Or for Opera or for Brave or whatever.
There's many out there.
Anyways, I just recognize what the guy was talking about. So
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Have a good day.
You too, sir.
You too.
Stay
have
warm.
Fun. Yeah. It is often the case that when you get something free, one of the ways they pay for that is to add on additional products that are that they get paid for. You do get the option to say no, but most people don't bother to read the little things. They just keep clicking yes, yes, yes until they get to what they want to do, and then they get surprised and upset when they've said yes to something they didn't really want. There's not much we can do about that. You have to actually read and pay attention. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dan from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Dan. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm searching for a couple of free programs that run both on Mac and PC. The first one for sending and receiving faxes. Some of the programs I've discovered, they're free to download, but then they want a monthly subscription or something like that. Is there one that you can send and receive faxes for free?
Most of them, you get a certain number for free, maybe 10 a month. I've used one called eFax. I see another one called MyFax. Some of them you get, 10 faxes for free, and then after that you have to pay. Faxing in general is kind of dying off.
Yeah.
Even real estate is kind of the last place that still uses faxes, and many of them have gone. You download a form, you fill out the form, and then you fax the form back. That's ridiculous. But some real estate places are still doing that.
Yeah, Fax Plus does have they call it a free account. Fax Zero is another one. I don't know anything about them, so I don't know how good they are. I don't know how many free faxes you get.
I just found one called Fax Form PDF Filler.
There you go.
Specifically for doing PDF filled out forms via fax.
Right. There's a site on LifeWire that talks about free fax services, and the text is so flippin' tiny.
Command plus on a Mac, so probably, is there an alt?
It's a picture.
Alt, and I'm, oh, it's not a picture?
Okay, so yeah, at any rate, a site called LifeWire has free fax services.
I can find it.
Listed.
I use those a lot.
Yeah.
LifeWire itself.
Yeah, and so we'll post a link to that. No promises as to what they do and what they don't do, but...
Also, one thing to look at is if you have an all-in-one printer, printer, copier, scanner, some of them also have fax capability built in. You just got to plug your phone line in to send the fax. You can use your regular house line as long as you don't need to receive faxes all the time. It doesn't need a standalone phone line.
Yeah. Okay.
You used to be able to send faxes from Gmail.
Oh, yeah. You used to be able to send fax from your computer when your computer had a modem in it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it used to be, and I don't know if this is still true, certainly can't hurt to try, you put the person's fax number at fax, F-A-X. So, 585-555-1234-FAX. So attach the document.
CocoFax.net. I'm seeing an article. The phone number at CocoFax.net. And it has a couple of them on Google. I guess so. That was from 2012. Here's one from 2020. Yeah, 2022. Can I send a fax through Gmail? Yes.
There you go.
So the phone number and then an at followed by your current fax service. Oh, so if you have your own fax service, you can send faxes by mail.
Great. Good to know.
Well, we'll read some more on this article and figure out how what it actually means.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You do have to have some sort of Google. You have to sign up for Fax Plus using your Google account. But I think Fax Plus was one of the free ones.
Okay.
Maybe not. I don't know.
So check them out.
Yeah, I'm posting the link on the article comparing them.
Okay. The second program I'm looking for will take a .mov file and burn it to a DVD that's playable on any DVD player that's hooked to a television. Ideas? Both Mac and PC?
Pretty much any DVD authoring program. Toast is kind of the king. But there's alternatives to Toast.
You should be able to not burn a movie.
You want an MPEG-2 DVD, not a data DVD.
Right.
Yeah.
When you burn a DVD, you have multiple options for what kind of DVD to make. You don't want a data DVD. All that does is copy the .mov to the DVD as if it were a drive, and that is not playable. But if you say to it, I want a, what do they call it?
A video DVD.
Video DVD.
MPEG-2 is the DVD format.
Right. If you say, I want a video DVD, then it actually transforms the .mov.
Converts it.
To an actual playable video on the DVD. And then you have to close the DVD. And some programs do that automatically, some do not. But it must be finalized or closed or whatever
the session has to be completed
right before it can be played on an other device.
Okay. Is Nero one of those programs that can do that?
Yes.
Yep.
You recommend others?
No, Nero's been around for decades.
Nero works great.
Okay. And what about on the Macintosh?
I use a program called Burn.
Wow.
Yeah. Apple used to have their iDVD, so if you have an old enough Macintosh, you may still have iDVD, which was their video authoring tool. But now there's a new one called Burn to do video DVDs. And
I really should talk. On Linux, there's one called XBurn, so I suppose.
Burn downloadable from the
From SourceForge. I can post a link for that as well. It uses MPEG and LAME. So it uses all the underlying Unix tools that Linux probably has, too.
Does Handbrake do that? Or does Handbrake only...
Handbrake's the other way.
Yeah.
Rip a DVD into the computer. Let's see here. Where's the download button for Burn? I just Googled Burn Mac and it found it. But I found it before, so it knows my history.
Right.
Okay. And I'll have an order of spam, spam, bacon, and spam, please.
Sure.
I don't like spam.
You can get spam, 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 ham, eggs, ham, bacon, and spam. There's not much spam in that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's getting harder and harder to find free anything these days. I'm afraid that isn't either encumbered with add-ons as Foxit and things like that are, or is really free. And apparently, that's including Gmail now. So we'll see how this trend continues. We used to have to pay for everything. And now we're paying for less and less, and now...
It's the older technologies, too.
Right.
You know, email's been around for 50 years, so of course you now have to pay for it.
Right.
you know, faxing is on its way out, so now you have to pay extra for it. Right. DVDs are probably gone now, and you have to pay for it.
Right. SMS, if you want to send to, and if you want, there are, as we said, there are email to SMS gateway. SMS is texting. Email to SMS gateways that are free. So your phone number at vtext.com or at t-mobile.net or whatever it is. And those are free, but they are not high priority.
Mm-hmm.
So it can take a couple hours.
If not longer.
Or just be dumped.
Yeah.
But you can get Twilio, which is approximately, depending on who you send it to, approximately a penny a text.
There are new... Interestingly, new text services coming online, marketing at businesses to send more text messages because it seems like people read text messages better than email.
Right.
And so they're advertised. There's one company, of course, I can't remember the name, shows how good their advertising is, but they advertise on a lot of the podcasts I listen to.
There you go.
And they talk about this dentist office in New York that had $1 million in outstanding receivables and they signed up for this tech service, and in the first week, he got 700,000 of it back.
Nice.
We do that a little bit on at our company, and I forget what service Tyler's got us set up for, but we send out texts on status of your repair. So here's a stat. In fact, I got one this morning. Here's a status update. We put your computer on the bench, and we've started our diagnostics. The customer called us and said, "What does that mean?"
Yeah. Yep.
It means we put your computer on the desk and we have started the diagnostics.
Right. And that's all we know at this point.
Yes.
Right. They'll probably call back in a few hours. Is it done now?
Well, no, they'll show up and say, "Well, I got a message."
Yeah.
Did it say it was done? No. Well, then it's not done. Right.
All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick. I've got an interesting problem with Firefox. Both my computer and my wife's computer. Earlier this week, I was trying to pay a bill online and went to the company's website and filled it out, and it wouldn't pay. It said my information was wrong, and I double-checked, and it was right. And so I called customer service, and they said, "Oh, we'll send you a link. We've been having trouble with the website. We'll send you a link." Well, the link they sent me was the same site that I'd gone to. But I played along and tried it and did the same thing. Finally, in frustration, I got out of Firefox, went to Chrome, and went through lickety-split.
Yep.
Turned around last night. My wife wanted to get something from Panera for dinner, and she went to her account on Panera and went in to pay through Firefox, and she was doing it on her HP laptop, and put in her credit card information and said, "You put in the wrong credit card information." And she's talking to her computer rather nastily, saying, "I did not do that. I did it right," and did it again. It's the same thing. So I finally said, "Well, okay, let me take a crack at it. What, I'm too stupid to do this?" And no, just sometimes things happen, and, you know, I'll let you know what I find, if I find anything. It did the same thing to me, and I finally thought, the light bulb came on. I said, "Wait a minute, let's try this." I got out, went to Chrome. Same thing. Went through first crack, no problem.
All right, I would do some checking in your Firefox systems. It is possible that you've accidentally or on purpose added some sort of add-on to your system that is doing not good things. So I would check it because it's clearly Firefox that's the problem.
Well,
the extensions.
I would say not necessarily. There are some websites that just don't like some browsers.
Yeah, but if they worked before.
Yeah, if they're
working. They changed something at the other
end. Maybe.
I had a customer this week trying to get to the Pittsburgh Federal Credit Union. Would not work in Safari. Just brought up a blank screen. We went to Google Chrome. Poof, came up immediately.
It could be some update or that maybe to Firefox.
Yeah, so an update at one end or the other broke something, and until one end or the other fixes it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, in the case of the Panera thing, when we ordered in the past, I always did it on my Chromebook. So this is the first time we've tried to get into Panera using Firefox.
Right, right.
Don't they have their own app? That's what a lot of companies use, their own app, and that bypasses the websites, and so they stop worrying about the website ordering because they have the app now.
Right.
I don't know if it's through an app. On hers, I think she's typed in Panera. Yeah.
Right. And what he's saying is...
In a Google thing where she can put Panera and it takes her in.
Right.
She's got an account with them, so it logs in and lets her in.
Right. But what he's saying is that for a lot of companies who now have their own app, they are de-emphasizing doing it through the web. That's a nice word. De-emphasizing doing it through the web and being leisurely in updating problems with the web end of things because they prefer people to use the app.
Oh, so they have an app so they can be lazy about their customer service?
Yes. Now you understand.
Yep. It's about the size of it.
Well, customer service is in the app now, not on the web.
Well, and you see that more and more often. If you want customer service, go to our app.
Yep.
Or they've got some sort of chat bot that says if you're having a problem, pick from this list.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll eventually send you to a human.
And what was interesting was after I finally got the order through, all of a sudden Avast popped up and said it found something it didn't like in Firefox.
Well, there you go. That's just what we said at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Check Firefox to see if you've got some sort of extension that you either didn't intentionally install or
got added on
somehow. But like we said, that's the kind of thing that's what we said right at the very beginning. Check Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
Now back.
Avast did it for me and basically took Firefox off the computer. So I had to go out through Chrome and re-download it and reinstall it.
Yeah, that happens every now and then when a known legitimate program accidentally gets marked as malware.
Something in that program, like an
error.
Yeah.
Or an extension.
Yeah, because,
it would be interesting to see if now that you have reinstalled Firefox, if it actually works at Panera.
Well, that'll have to wait till the next time we buy there.
Right.
But because I did not have that problem happen on my computer, just happened on my wife's laptop. So
right.
It was just, I didn't know whether it was just something it didn't like or I don't know. But I let it fix it and then I reinstalled it.
The reality is what it sounds like is Avast found an unwanted program or extension in Firefox. And that's exactly what we thought it would be.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I didn't add any extensions to it, so I don't know.
But yeah, that doesn't matter.
Drive by download.
The extension I have running on Firefox is the one, the Facebook Sense.
Yeah, but Andy, like Steve just said, it may not have been something you did intentionally. There are drive by downloads these days.
Yep,
and it could be some site she went to and it installed something and there you are, and then Adobe. Found it and not Adobe, Avast found it and dealt with the problem.
And that's fine.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks. Bye bye.
Yep. Bye bye.
It is it is getting more and more common that when you say we didn't install anything new, you're right.
Yep.
You didn't install anything new. That doesn't mean the computer didn't install something new all by itself.
There was a malicious ad on a website that installed it. But I didn't click anything. You don't have to click anything. Viewing the ad is enough.
Right. That's exactly right.
But you can't necessarily install an ad blocker because a lot of websites won't work if you have an ad blocker on.
That's right.
Because that's how they make their money.
And I agree with that.
So you turn your ad blocker off and you get infected. So there's the choice. Go to that web page or stay, stay off the internet. How do I stop getting viruses and malware? Don't go on the internet.
Don't go on the internet. Yeah. All right, back to the phones, which generally don't have viruses. Our next caller is Vic from Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Vic. What's up?
Nick, 3 weeks ago, I paid for AskNick.com, and I'm still waiting for my first newsletter.
Oh! Interesting. Do me a favor and email me, and I will handle it when I get off the phone, with the address you signed up for.
Okay,
every once in a while, there's a glitch between PayPal and my system. And I can't, because it is so unbelievably intermittent, I haven't yet figured out whether it's me or PayPal. And so I don't know about it until somebody complains. And that's fair. It is a complaint you're legitimately willing to have. But text me you know, email me all the information and I will redate your subscription to start now so you don't lose any weeks.
Now, email it to AskNick.com?
Yeah, Nick at AskNick.com or AskNick at gmail.com, whichever you, I don't care.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I am sorry about this, but I will make it right.
All right.
All right. Well, that music tells us we are done with the first hour of this show. It has been a whirlwind hour, but don't even think that we are done because we are only halfway through this show. That's right. We've got another hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. If you are on the line, please stay on the line. We will get back to you after this break. This break is a slightly longer break, but we will come back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. Take a little bio break. I know we will. And we'll all be back for another hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. And if you're not on the line, give us a call, 585-966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And we will all together hurtle headlong into the second hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites, right here on the truly great, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
My battery's up to 63%.
Congratulations.
And OBS is using significant energy.
Significant energy, no less.
My broadcasting system, yes, significant.
In the last hour, mine has gone down to 76%. I only have 6 hours left on my battery. Now, I'm not doing much of what you're doing, but it's a Chromebook. I get 10 hours of battery life.
He's doing quite a bit.
I'm running the Twitch stream and the YouTube stream, and I'm running Linux and a bunch of stuff. But even so, I have 10 hours of battery life on this thing, so I'm good for a while. Oh, but you're not using my my connector there anymore, are you?
No.
No. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dave from Canandaigua, New York. What's up, Dave?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Who came in?
Yeah, I was going to say, who walked in?
So I don't have anything good to say about texting.
Yeah.
But I did run across something. I have an Android phone, and Google Messages is kind of a neat trick. So you can do your messaging without having to try to use my fat fingers to hit tiny little keys.
Yeah.
So what I need to do, and I've been Googling on this for a few hours now, I need to try and do the same thing with a Windows machine but with an iPhone. And I'm coming up kind of short. I wondered if you guys had any tricks or workarounds.
Are you talking about using swipe keyboard, or are you talking about using voice texting?
Well, no, I'm trying to do SMS using a Windows machine.
No, you said you want to do the same thing you can do on Google, and I'm trying to understand what it is you're doing on Google.
Right. I'm trying to use Google Messages.
Uh-huh.
And that's what allows my phone to... Hang on, I got to turn off the picture of you guys. It's distracting me.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm using a Windows machine, and so with Google Messages, I can actually monitor my SMS.
Oh, so you're in the web browser, and you have Google messaging set up on the web browser.
Right.
Which connects to your phone. Got it. Okay. I didn't understand quite how you were doing that. So the question is, can you do something similar on an iPhone?
Well, I need to use the Windows machine. That's the only machine I will have available to do this.
Right.
But
it's really the web browser that matters, right? Because you're doing this through your web browser.
Well, right.
Right.
And it doesn't look like I can connect to an iPhone.
Not directly. Okay, so here's, let me catch everybody else up for a minute. If you have an Android phone and you have the Chrome browser, you can connect the two for text messaging. So you can do, it's called messages on the web or from the web or for the web, messages for web. And it's a website, it's a Google website. And it's at messages.google.com. And then if you're signed in and you've given them your phone number, you can now look at your text messages on your browser, and you can both send and receive text messages through your web browser at messages.google.com. So the question is there a similar thing for iPhones? And that's convenient. While Steve is looking that up, that is very convenient for those of us who have fat fingers or as in my case, arthritis. It is much faster. Actually, mostly I do voice texting because that's the fastest. But bless you. You can both receive and send text messages. And if you're visually impaired in any way, it's much nicer to be able to look at them on a big screen than on a tiny phone. So that's a really nice feature that the Android phone gives you. And so the question is there something similar
it's
for...
It's built into Mac, and I'm trying to see if there's a way to do it with Windows. I've never tried. There are programs that will receive text messages on Windows, and so you put in your phone number, and you just get those text messages on your Windows PC.
It's not my normal phone that I need to monitor. It's in the middle of a Zoom meeting. People are sending text messages to this other person, and they cannot be, they can't deal with it. So I need to.
So you put their phone number into the software.
Yeah, that would be what it would amount to. Yeah. And then monitor and be able to reply to these incoming messages on their behalf.
Yeah, I'm finding a bunch of different sites advertising multiple ways to get text messages on your Windows machine. There's also programs that will import the text messages from an iPhone, but you
yeah, I need real time.
You need real time, yeah.
Yeah, I already have SMS forwarding. I don't really even need that anymore now that I'm just found this today.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Well, Apple does not have any. They don't have any third-party SMS applications. That's what I've read.
Right. And if you actually have a Mac,
it's built in to the Messages app on the Mac.
But you can also there's a Chrome extension.
Is there?
That will let you share it with a Windows machine.
Yeah, I may try that route. It's kind of a Byzantine thing, and I don't.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
To put it politely.
And that's partly, like, if I do this, then it will need to be, if I'm not in that Zoom meeting, then someone else without the know-how will be able to do it anyway. So.
Right.
Well, there you just lost everyone.
Right.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the Zoom stuff working pretty nicely, but.
Why don't they use the chat feature built into Zoom?
If they can't, they don't read their emails, and so they don't get the right meeting numbers, or there's a whole bunch of ways to miscommunicate. So if they can't get into the meeting, then they'll text this person and go, "How come I can't get into the meeting?" And so it's easy to send them back a link to the right meeting number or whatever. But mm-hmm. So my alternative would be I did look up there's a way to auto respond on an iPhone, and might do that. When we go into the meeting, she can just turn on the auto responder.
There is an app called Touch Copy. which allows you to view and export media from iPhone to computer. And there is a version for both Windows.
See, I don't think we need iPhone in the search. It just wants to receive text messages on Windows.
Right.
No, I understand that.
And there's a bunch of programs that do that.
Yeah.
In fact, Microsoft has one called the Your Phone app.
Yeah, there was something about an article I read in Windows 10, but there was something in there that was, I can't remember what it was. I've read so many things, I don't even know anything anymore.
Yeah.
So, well.
It's implying there's an app built into Windows 10 called Your Phone, and that will let you send and receive text messages.
You just
have to put in the phone number you want to receive them from.
I'll try and look that again, because that may be one of those things they stopped. There were some things that worked, and then they discontinued.
Yeah, and there's got to be some sort of authentication process,
right?
Because you shouldn't be able to receive messages from anybody's phone,
right? Unless you get a password or something. Yeah.
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 Right.
Well,
yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We'll keep looking.
Yeah. Yep. Sending is easier than receiving.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks for the help.
Yeah.
Thanks. Good luck.
Most of the text messaging apps I'm seeing give you a new phone number.
Right.
And because they don't want you just using anybody's phone number
you can take out a Google Voice number.
Yeah.
Get a Google Voice number, and then you can send and receive through Google Voice
on any device.
Laptop,
yeah.
Any computer.
Brain fart.
Yeah, and on Android and iPhone apps too.
Right. That's exactly right. So the easiest solution is to set up a Google Voice number specifically for your Zoom meetings. And use that each time, and the people who can't get to it are just going to have to learn to read a text message once in a while to know where to call. It's not rocket surgery. All right, our next caller is Josh. Josh, where are you calling from?
Fairport,
New York?
Fairport, New York, where the conventions happen.
It's a fair port.
It is a fair port.
It wasn't a good port, it was a fair port.
It was a fair port. What's up, Josh?
Oh, I just wanted to call and let you guys know, I'm sure this is super obvious at this point, but I'm looking for work currently, and I'm using LinkedIn, and I got a potential job person, and they were like, oh, hey, we saw your resume, we want to do like a Skype call interview, and so of course I'm suspicious of just about anything that I do regarding this topic, but I was like, okay, let's do it. So I get on Skype, and the person's like, we're going to do the interview all through text messaging.
Wait, they got you on Skype to tell you they're going to do it through text messaging.
Exactly.
No.
My stink meter was just off the charts. But I was like, whatever, I'll just see what they get to. And there were so many typos in the conversation, and some of the typos were really... like, not obvious, but if you looked it up, the words that they used in this one situation, I looked it up, and it meant a clever disguise or a tricky way to fool someone. And I was like, wow, they're giving their position away.
Yeah.
Just in there.
They're cut and pasting from their script and putting in the stage instructions.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I just wanted to just, you know, in case anybody who is listening is not aware... There's just so many clever and creative ways that people will try to send you down the line.
Yep, excellent. Yep. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Good luck in your search.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, there's a lot of scams like that. There's model search scams or work from home. Just send us $100 and we'll send you a starter kit. No. If you have to pay money to start doing something, it's a scam.
It's a scam. They're basically Ponzi schemes.
I'm sorry, say again.
You know, and yes, if you are one of the very first people in on a Ponzi scheme.
So if you create a Ponzi scheme, you're set.
You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to make, yes. But other than that, no, you are not.
Bitcoin.
Do not get me started on that.
I saw that post you did about all the different coins.
Yeah. They're all crashing right now.
Yeah.
It's really surprising. No, not at all.
No, I was gonna say no, it's not.
No. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Marie from North Chilai, New York. How are things in North Chilai, Marie?
Hi, sunny, and we got a lot of pretty white snow.
There you go. What's up?
I've got two things. One is just want to comment on this. I have a laptop, HP laptop. It's a year old, and it's developed a little rattle when I, like, lift it or move it around. It's got a rattle. So anyway, I had it in the shop because I had to go to the shop at Staples because I have a warranty with them, and I had a virus came up a little over a week ago. I had some kind of virus and malware or something going on, so they had to take care of that. And I asked them about the rattle, and they said, well, it sounds like a screw, but I would have to send in the computer somewhere and have them send it back to me and all that, and they didn't seem to worry about it at Staples. So I just wanted to know if you guys have a comment about what might be going on, and I don't really want to be sending this thing in on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's only a one-time thing with this warranty that I have the next few years, so to send it in. So it works fine, so can I just live with this?
The thing that you said, it's an old computer?
No, it's 1 year old.
Oh, it's 1 year old.
Yeah.
And if it is a loose screw rattling around in there, eventually it's going to short circuit something.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. If you're moving it around, what could happen is that little screw could wind up going up on one of the circuits and laying across it, you know, short out something. I mean, with that, they should be able to pull the top cover off.
Maybe Staples doesn't do tear aparts.
Yeah.
I could see that. You may need to find another service shop.
Yeah, you might have to find another place that
you'll have to pay for it there.
There are HP people in town who do warranty work.
Yep.
But it depends if it's an HP warranty or a Staples warranty.
Yeah, that's true.
The thing of it is, though, is if they were able to pop off the keyboard and that, if it's a loose screw, well, it's unplugged and the battery's out of it, they could, you know, shake it around a little bit and have it fall out. And that way, not avoid doing any damage.
Then you got to find out where it came from and put it back.
Well, yeah, there's that.
They don't put extra screws in a laptop. It came from someplace. Finding it could be a challenge, but you know,
it isn't. It's not impossible that something else got in a crumb of something, or whatever. But the greater likelihood is that it's a screw. And that would be dangerous because of the short circuit possibility.
Yep.
Not dangerous to you. Well, I suppose.
Depending it could on where start it short a fire. Circuit,
exactly right. It could start a fire. But certainly it could destroy the computer.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I would.
Don't go, you know.
I would take a look around for, you know, if you still have that archaic old phone book, or you could Google HP Warranty Repair Rochester, New York.
Okay,
and see what comes up. And again, you know, I don't know whether your warranty. Steve is right. I don't know whether your warranty is with HP.
I definitely have this whole big package with Staples that I signed up for when I bought the computer. I bought it December a year ago. But HP, maybe they have a separate. Warranty. I could contact HP and find out.
Yeah, call them because if it is a year old, it should still be under their warranty also.
A year ago, December, so now it's 13 months old.
Right.
So it may not be under 1 year. Depends on what the HP warranty was to begin with.
Right. Right. I would make sure before I jumped anyway in any direction, I would see what the warranty situation is.
Okay. All right, thank you for that. I have another question.
Go ahead.
I email with friends, and I have two friends in particular that I email with very frequently, like every other day. I've been doing it for years, never had a problem. I use Blue Frog, which is a small company, but I love it. and everything's been fine. Well, suddenly my one friend told me that wasn't getting any of my emails, and then he ended up saying, well, all your emails went to my spam. And then my other friend, these are the two people that I email with the most, and the other friend said, all of a sudden I got an email from her, and she said, I haven't gotten any emails from you in a week. And I did send her four emails. She uses a phone to do all of her
right.
technology stuff. He uses a regular desktop computer. I don't know why this happened, but the other thing is, while my computer was in the shop at Staples, I was using an old Toshiba computer that I have that works reasonably well, and I sent some of those emails I sent using that, but there were others that I used using this one. So, and then I emailed my one friend with Gmail this morning, and he wrote back and he said, I got this one.
Yeah, it's almost never your end. It's always the other end.
Okay.
It's either the other mail service or the other person's mail reader started flagging your messages as spam. Mm-hmm. And we see that all the time in our business. We got to tell our people we sent you updates. Look in your spam folder.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, one of the things you can do is have your friends put your address in their address book. Specifically, add you to the address book, not mm-hmm. just wait for messages to come to the inbox. Because mm-hmm. most spam filters will not put people in the address book into spam.
Okay. I wonder why it was suddenly started. Like I said, I've been emailing these two people for years.
It may not be you. Mm-hmm. It could be somebody reported all of Blue Frog, for example.
Uh-huh.
That happens sometimes with Roadrunner. So RR.com gets reported as a spammer, and now nobody can pass Roadrunner email.
Right.
Oh. Wow.
So it may not be you. There is a site called mail-tester.com. Where you can test your email address to see if it is on a spam filter.
I use MX Toolbox's blacklist check.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of these. So you can test. Steve's going to post a link to one of those on our website, and you can check that and check your email to see if it's been flagged as spam.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, and Vic, if you're still... Of course Vic is still listening. Don't be silly. How stupid. Do me a favor and check your spam folder for the Ask Nick emails. It is possible... Of course, it depends on how often you dump your spam. But it is possible that they're going to your spam folder because a long time ago, I got flagged as spam, and it should be off of everything by now. I mean, that long ago, but in any case, if not, put me in your whitelist. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. Hey, do me a favor, vote in the poll. I mean, there's hundreds of you listening. I'd love to hear you vote in the poll. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Boy, my mind, you know, it's just thinking of all these cold temperatures in there. It's like...
And just like that, Dave changes the frequency of the radio station.
Yeah, real. I'm on something else.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I think I'm still Dave Redray.
And I must be Steve Redray.
Maybe.
Change channels.
And 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbite. And we have Paul from West Irondequoit, New York on the line. What's up, Paul?
Hi, guys. Hey, the lady with the rattle and the laptop.
Yeah.
That is a screw. It happened to me shortly after I bought a laptop. It's in my car in the driver's seat. It just about burst into flames.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be dangerous, yeah.
I had the sense of mind pull over and take out the battery.
Yep.
Good man.
Yeah, and funny thing is a couple days after that, I would have been taking that on an airplane, and that would have been a real hoot, you know?
Yeah, that would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd still be in Gitmo.
Yeah. Yeah. And then sending that back to HP, that was a real hoot also, because I fill out the warranty card. How much you pay for the laptop? $200 Okay, it's all fixed. Now you owe us $200, you know?
Yeah, right.
So I had an admin take care of it. She was the brains of the operation and not the engineer.
Well, that's certainly not something I'm going to touch because I know a number of engineers.
Yeah. And the other earlier issue about Chrome working and not Firefox.
Yeah.
I'm in a COVID study, so I fill out a diary like twice a week. It works. IQVIA is the website. It works in Chrome. It does not work in Firefox.
Yeah, there are a number of programs, a number of websites that absolutely require one browser or another. That's just bad programming on their part, frankly.
That's lazy programming.
Lazy programming, yeah. But yes, there are some. In his case, it used to work and then it stopped.
Yeah.
So that's a little different. Although it could be as
something
as
changed
said,
one end or the other.
An update.
Changed,
an update to the system.
We're using a new Java expression that doesn't exist in this other version yet.
Right. It's certainly a possibility. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Yep. We appreciate it. Stay warm.
Yeah, I do support you.
That's what we like to hear.
Yay.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's what we like to hear. Mm-hmm. People who are members of the station.
Yep.
Willing to keep us on the air. All right. Let me read another thing here. Which would be good? Oh, this will be good. Do I want to read about high-end PC graphics cards or adaptive charging on the Chromebook? Oh, we'll read about Chromebook.
Yeah, because we're on that kind of theme today.
Yeah. Chrome OS is set to gain an adaptive charging feature similar to Pixel phones that will extend your Chromebook's long-term battery life. One of the benefits of Chromebooks over most Windows laptops is a long-lasting battery, 10 hours in my case, that can typically make it through the day without needing to be recharged. Of course, over the years, batteries degrade and eventually lose their charge faster, and Chromebooks are no exception. With a little bit of care and planning, though, you can extend the lifespan of a phone or laptop battery. On Pixel phones, this level of care can happen automatically through a feature called adaptive charging, which intentionally slow charges your phone when it's plugged in overnight. This reduces a variety of factors like excess heat that can put stress on your battery and should help prolong its health. According to a newly posted code change, Chrome OS is set to gain its own version of adaptive charging. Where phones are often charged from a low battery point back to full, going relatively unused while on the charger, it's normal to plug in a laptop or Chromebook when you're seated at a desk, regardless of whether the battery is actually low at the time. However, keeping a typical laptop battery fully charged for extended periods of time has been found to have a negative effect on the longevity of the battery. To that end, according to the code, Google is working to reduce the amount of time that your Chromebook spends with its battery 100% charged. Digging a little deeper, we find that rather than charging slowly at nighttime like Pixel phones, adaptive charging on Chromebooks will use machine learning in some way, possibly to learn your routine and decide a charging speed accordingly. In theory, your Chromebook battery should be fully charged at approximately the same time that you would normally unplug it. There will also be a notification informing you that adaptive charging is active, along with settings that would presumably allow you to disable the feature altogether. One thing we're not yet sure of is which Chromebooks will be able to use adaptive charging, including whether it will come to older devices or be a launch feature for upcoming ones. Considering adaptive charging is exclusive to Pixel phones rather than a broader feature of Android, one could imagine this new feature is being exclusive to the Google Pixelbook lineup, though there haven't been any recent signs of a new Pixelbook in development. So how's your Chromebook's battery life? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Apple calls that optimized charging.
Right.
On iOS 13 and later. And it's a little weird that wake up in the middle of the night and look at my phone and it's at, you know, 20%. And then I get up at 8 and it's at 100%. It knew. It didn't bother charging it all the way because it knows I get up at 8, so make sure it's done by then.
Yep.
So it doesn't overstress the battery.
Yeah. My Pixel phone has that. Also, I use a little app that lets me know when the charge hits 80% while I'm charging or hits 40% while it's discharging, because one of the things that we've discovered with these kinds of batteries is they stress most below 40% or above 80%. So if you keep your charge between 40 and 80%, generally, it's not an exact number. You don't have to exactly hit it. But if you keep your charge between those extremes, your battery will be less stressed and therefore, theoretically at least, last longer. Yeah. So I've thought about adding that app because I have a Android apps will work on a Chromebook. I've thought about adding that app to this thing, but I haven't yet.
Looks like Apple added that to Big Sur and later on the Mac as well.
The 40-80 thing?
Oh, yeah. Stops charging to 80% and learns your routines.
Right.
But I have to leave it plugged in order for it to charge at all.
What? Really?
I don't have a Wardenclyffe tower in the back of my house.
Yeah. Well, sadly, nobody does anymore. If you've seen the skeleton,
yeah.
But yeah. So and of course there are a lot of people now have wireless charging, which means they just set the thing down on the charger, and that also can be bad if it's not able to regulate that well.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, like we said, with newer Pixel phones, it can. So if you're one of those people who puts it on a charger overnight, then you absolutely are going to benefit from adaptive charging. So, yeah, a lot of things are changing. You've talked about this for decades. We want better battery life.
Yeah.
And
that's right now that because – like I've said, you know, for the past few years, phones, you know, we've gone from the big desktops to now everybody's going with laptops, tablets, and phones. That's the main thing that, you know, folks are carrying around now. It's great with the cloud. It makes it so much easier. You don't have to worry about losing documents and everything else. It's more convenient. Nothing worse than, say, getting to work and I'll say, oh, wait a minute, I needed that document. Oh, well, I just log into my Google account and I go up to the cloud, grab it, download it, boom, I got it. But the big thing for phones, because there's not many more features that they can add to it. You know, they've added some
useful, real features now.
Yeah. You know, so it's got a camera that does panoramic. How many
cinematic
folks?
Cinematic mode.
Yeah.
I'm in focus now. I'm the most important. Yeah. I love that commercial. Never use that feature, but I love that commercial.
I do love that commercial.
But again, they add all these things, and it's like, oh, yeah, that sounds really cool. Then it's like, how often are you going to actually, in reality, use it?
Yep.
Whereas if they did something with the battery, made it just a few millimeters thicker, because what difference does it make? Because you're putting a protective case on it anyway.
That's exactly right. But, you know, there's, and I blame Steve Jobs for this. He's had this, it's got to be thinner.
Mm-hmm. It was Jenny Ive. Since he's left, Apple has stopped saying how thinner things are.
Yeah, that's true.
They've also stopped saying this is the best iPhone ever. Well, of course it is.
Yeah, exactly.
But to all the kids in school now, get into material science.
Because
that's
yes.
where the money is, especially battery chemistry. Take chemistry, take metallurgy. You can make a fortune if you invent the next best
Holy
battery.
Holy moly. And I do want to thank Donald Miller. He was in the YouTube chat, and I'm sorry I missed it earlier, but he agreed it's Google Voice for SMS, and that makes sense. All right, our next caller is, I think it's Jack from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Jack. What's up?
Hey, fellas. Okay, here's a stumper for you. Maybe two or three times, at least twice, when I did one of those overnight upgrades of my phone.
Yep.
For a little while afterwards, there was lousy battery life.
Yep.
The last time it happened, I went to the store, the Apple store, and some gal played with it for a minute, and I was going to get a new battery. That was what was advised when I called Apple. And I don't know what the mix-up was. They didn't have batteries or whatever. But anyway, I left the store, and little by little, battery life came back, and now it's fine, and I'm just waiting for the next upgrade I have to do where I'll lose battery life for a few days.
It's relatively common after a major OS upgrade because the system is basically re-optimizing everything, re-indexing every file on the drive, and that can use a lot of battery life for the first few days after a major upgrade.
Okay, so the advice that Apple gave me to buy a new battery was maybe ill-advised because I just waited a couple days and it's back to normal.
Well, you can check. Basically, yes. You can check the battery health rating in your phone. They generally recommend if it's 80% or below, the battery could be replaced to get more battery life back. If you're above 80%, then usually the battery's okay. So maybe you had a marginal battery, you know, 82%, 83%. Customers come in and say the battery doesn't last very long, and it's at 82%. It's not supposed to change it yet, but will anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that helps.
Yep, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, we see that particularly when you buy a new phone. You know, you spend all your time playing around with it, and then all of a sudden you think, well, I've only been on it for 3.5 hours, and the battery's dead.
Yeah,
you've been changing every single thing, testing every single thing, playing with every single thing, and shockingly,
downloading a lot of new apps.
You used your battery. Yes, that's exactly what happened. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Rochester, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Yeah, I'm going to break down and buy a Chromebook because my phone is getting harder to see it. bigger. Do you, could you give me some, like the minimum that you have to have for a Chromebook? Because I assume that the Chromebook can do the same thing that a desktop could do. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Here's the thing about Chromebooks. They do all the same stuff. They just do it a little differently. So if you had, do you have a desktop now?
No. I was going to get one, but I thought, listen to you guys over the years, the Chromebook would be the way to go because I just need something to access, say, like online banking and stuff like that.
As long as you're not trying to do like any sort of video editing and that kind of thing, a Chromebook will do, you know, 99.9% of what everybody wants to do anyway.
Yeah.
It all happens through the browser or through Android apps or Linux apps or whatever you want to use. So you basically, when you start up a Chromebook, it's a browser. So it's like going to your desktop, turning on your computer, starting Chrome, and being there all day.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you normally would do through your browser or through apps, because Android apps work on Chromebooks, you can do on a Chromebook.
Gotcha. So what would you say would be the minimum requirements for, you know, memory, et cetera?
I would say a minimum would be 8 gig of RAM. More is, of course, better. Depending on how much stuff you want to save locally, 16 gig or 32 gig for the drive. Because most of your stuff you'll save in Google Docs.
Right. Okay.
Right. So you don't need a whole lot of storage on your desktop. However, if you get a model that has a micro SD card, for example, I've got 128 gig micro SD card in my Chromebook here, so I can store movies and books and
quite a bit of stuff.
Is that in the ads where they give you the range between whatever to with a, an additional, say like a SIM card or something, that you get the extra memory?
They don't usually tell you how big a one you can have. Any new Chromebook is easily going to do 256 gig SD cards and probably 512 or higher.
A lot of times they'll say up to.
You're right.
So, you know, so the $399 price is the 8 gig card. But the up to, you know, if you want the 256 gig card, then you're at the $999.
Right.
Yeah. I think the ones that I'm thinking about, you see on Best Buy, for example, they run between, say, $200 and $300 for beginners, for lack of a better term.
For a basic Chromebook, $200 is good, $300 is better.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. This one, the one I have was $329, I think it was. Something along in that line.
And also, the bigger the screen you get, the bigger they are, too.
Right. You get a bigger screen or a faster screen.
Or a touch screen.
Mm-hmm. A touch screen, exactly.
Isn't the Pixelbook still $2,000?
That's a good point. What size screen are you talking about? Maybe 14 inches, 15 diagonal?
Well, are you going to be carrying it around?
Not really. Well, once in a while, but probably to the library, and that's it.
Right. So here's the thing. I personally prefer 14 inches or 13 and a half inches.
And those are considered big screens.
Right. For me, that is a good trade-off between I'm able to see it and I don't mind carrying it around.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you'll find some 10-inch models that are really cheap because they're only 10 inches.
Because they're only 10 inches. Or you see those 15-inch models, which are great if you're replacing a desktop. But if you're going to carry them around, they get heavy and cumbersome.
Yeah, I see. Okay, 14. So if eight RAM and 1632 for the drive. Good.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted. Because sometimes they'll try to upsell you and stuff that you don't need if you're not a gamer, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Okay. All right, good. All right, gentlemen, the Chromebook, from what I hear from you guys talking about, it seems to have all the bells and whistles that I need, you know, for what I want to do. So that's
right.
I'm going to give that a shot.
The other thing to be aware of, Ed, is if you are indeed going to carry it around, make sure you get a good warranty. That's the most important thing, because carrying it around makes it susceptible to being dropped or banged against things.
And sometimes you need to get accidental abuse coverage rather than just a manufacturer defect warranty.
Right.
So those are sometimes an extra warranty.
And you can also get good padded cases with shoulder straps and et cetera, which again makes it easier to carry around.
So does the store, is that the extended warranty that the store tries to sell you?
Depends on the store, and check the warranty itself and ask the questions. Does this include accidental damage?
Yeah, accidental droppage.
Right.
Yeah, so they usually come with a manufacturer's warranty, which is typically a year. And then oftentimes you can get a manufacturer's extended warranty or you can get a store extended warranty. And that's the thing you need to keep track of.
Right.
Yeah, and what it'll get you for your buck.
If it's anything like your cell phone, you just figure, well, I'll never drop my cell phone. And, you know, every time you turn around, it's like, oh, geez.
Kind of
a thing. So that's a good point. So, okay. Hey, this is good. Thanks for your help. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ed. Have fun. Good luck. Yeah, we're finding that people tend to forget that we are clumsy. And I can't tell you how many times I've fumbled my phone or my laptop or whatever. Generally, I either recover. Thank God, luckily, nothing is broken yet. But, you know, and I have often joked about the patented Francesco drop test. And
or you hear about
sometimes you don't pass it.
The people that say they drop their phone all the time and nothing ever happens. You've been really, really lucky.
Yeah.
Or what have you dropped it on?
Yeah. You know,
I drop it all the time on the sofa. Yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
When you mentioned dropping.
Yeah.
One thing that always turns me back to is our late friend Bob Smith.
God bless Bob.
He had, you'd have to picture this, folks. He had this IBM ThinkPad. A tough book. And thank goodness it was a tough book.
Yeah. Which is hardened against dropping and...
Right.
It's like an inch of rubber all the way around it. Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, he used to use it so much. And I can remember a couple... matter of fact, one time when I got to the studio early and I helped him super glue another one of the corners together because he accidentally dropped it.
Yep.
But three out of the four corners had been dropped.
Yep.
And super glued back together. Because it will happen, folks. It's just a matter of when.
Right. It's never an if. It's always a when.
Mm-hmm.
And you really do have to be aware that if you have a device that is portable, you will carry it around. And if you will carry it around, you will drop it. You know, I don't bother with extended warranties on a desktop often.
No.
They're usually cheaper on the desktop because it's less likely if anything happens.
Yeah, they're already on the ground usually anyway.
That's exactly right. But for any sort of portable device, a laptop, a tablet, a Chromebook.
Cell phone.
Those are the things that you absolutely want to have an extended warranty on. And if I were the sort of person who had Apple earbuds, I'd warranty them against loss. Because you know you're going to lose one.
Yeah.
Be aware that whatever you have budgeted for your machine, you really need to add warranties and that kind of support to it, because you're gonna damage your phone. You are.
It's not a matter of when. It's when.
Yeah, it's always when.
Yeah, because it's electronic and it's going to break down. Maybe at the wrong time.
The days of buying a dishwasher and having it last for 30 years are long gone.
You need that extended warranty or you're going to pay. You know, Dave has always said, pay me now or pay me later.
Yep.
And that's how that works. So I always urge people who are buying any sort of portable device to get that extended warranty for as long as they will let you extend it.
Yeah, that comes from, you know where that saying came from? And this is dating myself.
Oil company?
I used to date myself, then I got married.
Yeah. It was, that didn't work out.
And then you have to date yourself again after a while.
Reruns. No, it was from the old Sunoco ad. And the guy go, because he was advertising for Pram oil filters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember
those.
He'd
sit there, he'd have an oil filter in his one hand and a couple tools in the others. And he goes, you can pay me now or you can pay me later, as he put up the tools.
I do remember those ads.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that was way back when. Yep. But, yeah, it was for Pram oil filters and trying to get folks to change their oil a little more often. Then, you know,
there we go. Yeah, it was the Fram oil filters in the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dave is old.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I invented dirt.
Yeah.
I think I have a Fram oil filter in my car now.
There you go.
Trusted since 1934.
And yeah. Maybe the same oil filter.
Yeah.
Since 1934. So if you are, in fact, looking in, and of course, it's less expensive to buy the extended warranties when you buy the phone. Some companies will let you add them later, but they will always charge you a premium to do that.
Apple is starting to do something now, and we haven't seen any official word on it yet, so we're not sure how it works. But after you get a repair done, if you pay for a repair that was out of warranty, you're able to then buy the extended warranty.
Nice.
Because the repair shop has fixed the machine and inspected it and done all of that.
And now they know it's good.
We don't know how to do that yet, but the news blogs are saying it's possible. We haven't seen any official word from Apple yet, but
if they do that, that's excellent. Yeah. Because that's,
because normally you've only got 60 days to add the extended warranty after you buy your device.
You should always buy it at the time you buy your device.
They've also changed it so that you can pay a month to month, and it keeps going forever.
Nice.
The AppleCare plan used to only be 3 years total for a computer and 2 years on a phone, but if you pay month to month, it just keeps going as long as you keep paying.
Really nice. Yep. That is very nice. All right. That music tells us that we are done for this week. I want to thank everybody who called in. We had a good slew of calls. Sure, it's too cold to go outside, so you're calling us. But I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Please vote in the poll at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And we are done. We will see you next week on the next edition of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?